He's afraid of needles, maybe.
Okay, let's make a start straight away. I don't know why these computers dial me every so often. Okay, so we're learning a bit of a strange looking sugya. Do the dead know what's going on? Remember, it all began when two Amoraim went to the Beis HaKvaros. One of them was wearing tzitzis loose, and the other one said, don't do that because the dead are aware exactly of what you're doing, and by wearing tzitzis, you are mocking them. So we had a whole discussion whether the dead do or don't know, are they aware of what's going on around them? So we're going to learn now a very, very peculiar looking story, which, let's have a look. The Gemara says we're on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th semi-wide line. Fourth word on the line, veloy. Veloy, question mark. Do the dead not know what's going on? That's what we're trying to work out. Do the dead, are they aware of what's going on? Vahotanya, and we have a lengthy braisa, which is to be found in Avos Derev Nosson, with a very, very strange looking story. Let's try and work this out together. Maisa b'chosid echad. The story is told with a particular righteous individual. Shenosan dinar. He gave a dinar, which is a coin, la'oni, to a poor person, be'erev Rosh Hashanah, b'shnei b'tzoiris, in the years of famine. So it's the years of famine. There's not much food to go around. Money is very precious. And this chosid, nonetheless, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he gave away a dinar to an oni. V'hiknitosoi ishtoi. And his wife scolded him. His wife got very angry with him. Presumably, she did not want him to give away this money. They were short of money. So he is now in big trouble with his wife for having given away the family coin. What does he do? V'holach, and he went, v'lon b'beis hakvoros. And he went and he lodged in the Beis HaKvaros. He's presumably on bad terms with his wife, so he feels he's no longer welcome at home, and off he went to reside, to sleep in the Beis HaKvaros. V'shoma, now it gets a bit spooky. V'shoma, and he hears shtei ruchos. He hears a conversation between two spirits. Shemesapreis zu lezu, that are talking to each other. Now, who were these two spirits? So look at Rashi, towards the top of the page on the last very wide line. Shtei ruchos, shel shtei yelodos mesos, from two young girls who had died. So two young girls had died, were presumably buried here in this Beis HaKvaros, and their spirit, each one of them, is talking to each other. This is the conversation that this chassid is overhearing. V'shama shtei ruchos shemesapreis zu lezu. So he hears the two ruchos conversing, as it were, with each other. Omra chadu lechaverto. So one says to his friend, one says to her friend, Chaverti, my dear friend, boi, come, v'noshut bo'oilom, let us traverse the world, v'nishma, and we will hear, says one to the other, me'achoirei haparagoid, which literally means from behind the curtain, let's secretively traverse the world and we'll hear ma puronus bo la'olam. What punishment is befalling the world? So let's go and visit or revisit the world behind closed curtains and let's see which oinesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing to the world. Says the Gemara, Omro lo chaverto. So the other one says back in response, she says, Eini yechoilo, I cannot do so. Why can't I do so? Sha'ani kavuro, because I am buried b'machzeles shel konim. I am buried in a matting of reeds. Now, please don't ask me, Pshatinis, why that's a reason that the ruach, the spirit, can't travel around the world. I don't know. But she says, I'm buried in a matting of reeds. So rather, elo lechi at. Rather, you go. Instead of going together, you go. And hear what's going on. Uma sha'at shema'as. And whatever you hear, Imri Li, please tell me. Says Rashi so far on that wide line again. The Nishma, one says to the other, Veneida, Ma gozru hayoim puronios bo'olam. Which puronios is being decreed to be brought upon the world? Remember, this story happened just before Rosh Hashanah. Now it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. Sheha'olam nidoim b'Rosh Hashanah. Because indeed the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah, so for now's the time exactly to hear what's going to be judged upon the world. A paragoid, what is this proverbial curtain that's being mentioned? Says Rashi, Mechitza Hamavdeles. It is some wall that separates Bein Mokoim Hashchino. Can't go into detail because I don't really fully understand. Either way, so therefore one of the spirits has now been dispatched. She says she can't go with her friend because the friend cannot go. So she's now going to go to the world and hear what has HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, which Oynash is going to be brought upon the world. And off she goes. Holchohi. So she goes to hear what's being discussed, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been going in the world. Veshoto, and she traverses the world. Ubo'o, and she comes back. Va'omro lo, and she says, Va'omro lo chaverto. So her friend, upon her return, says to her, Nu, chaverti, my dear friend, ma shomat me'achoyrei apargoid. What did you hear from behind the curtain? I couldn't go, you did go. What did you hear? Omra lo. So she said back, I'll tell you what I heard. Shomati, and remember, this chosid is overhearing this entire conversation. Shomati, says one spirit to the other, Shekol hazoireya beravia rishoina. I heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed that whoever sows Bereviyah HaRishoyno in the first Reviyah, as we'll soon see in Rashi tells us, there are different seasons for rainfall. So apparently there's been an Oynesh that has been decreed upon the world that whoever sows in the first Reviyah, Borod Malke Oysoi. Hail will ruin all of his tevuah. This is the Oynesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed on this Rosh Hashanah, that whoever sows his land right at the beginning of the year in time for the first rainfall, well, I'm afraid to tell you, he won't see much positive results because borod, hail, will come along and will ruin all of his tevuah. This is what this chosid overheard. Now, of course, if you've heard this, you're onto a good thing. Why are you onto a good thing? Because you know not, therefore, to sow your land in the first Revia. Which, says the Gemara, is exactly what he did. Holachu, so he went, Vezora, and when did he sow the land? Berevia Shnia. So everybody was probably looking at him strangely. Why are you sowing the land so late? Everybody got there first in the Revier of Shoina, but of course he knew that all of their tevuah would be smitten, which is exactly what happened. Shel kola oilom kulai loka. Everybody's tvua became smitten. But shaloi loi loka. But his never got smitten. Why? Because again, he was privy to this conversation between the two spirits, and he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decreed an oimesh, that whoever sows in the first revia, his tevuah will be smitten. So for he went and sowed in the second revia. Meanwhile, have a look at Rashi. Berevia rishayna yoyre. Shalosh revias hein. There are three shots of rainfall. Bechira, which is the Bechair, Shnia, the second one, Veshlishis, the third one. Rishayna is supposed to come by Yud Zayin Mar Chevshan, Shnia Bechof Kes, Bechof Gimel Cheshvan, and Shlishis Beresh Chodesh Kislev. So that's when the rainfall is supposed to fall. Anybody who's learned Masechtas Tanis will know this, that if rain does not fall by these dates, that's when Beis Din start decreeing a Tanis, a fast. We know if it doesn't rain, you decree a Tanis. The question is, if it doesn't rain, by when? So these are the dates that the Gemara mentions over there. Borod Malke Oysoi, Sha'osid Borod Lipoil Somuch L'Revia Shnia, or Rishayna. Borod is going to come just close to the end of the first revia, which will ruin all the tvia. And therefore, umash and nizra kvar, therefore everything that has already been sowed, huksha, will have become solid. When you sow something initially, then the sapling is very tender. And if it's very tender, we know this from Rashi al Torah in Makas Borod, if it's very tender, and borrowed lands on it, then it won't break. Imagine you drop a stone on a piece of grass. Nothing will happen to the grass. The grass will just bend down, then bend back up. But if you drop a heavy rock on a twig, which has become rigid, then the twig will snap. So therefore, because if you sowed early, therefore everything that's been sown, has already become huksha, as hardened. Therefore, v'habarod shayvrai. Therefore, the borod breaks it. V'hanizra b'shnia. However, that which is sown in the second season, so it's very, very young, adayin rach hu, is still very soft. The einoi nishbar, and will not become broken, b'shvil haborod, as a result of the borod. And Rashi indeed sends us to Makas Borod in Mitzrayim, ki'inyan shenema, exactly as it is written, v'ha pishto v'ha sa'iro nikso v'ha chito v'ha kusemes loy niku. Shmois Tes, which is Parshas Va'eiro, the end of the parasha where it talks about borod, and the Torah clearly distinguishes between that tevua which did break in the borod and that which didn't. And the answer is, if it was rigid and hard, then it broke. And if it was soft, it didn't break. I remember my wife's grandfather always used to teach us this rule. Those who are extra rigid in life will end up being broken. And if you're prepared to bend and you're sometimes prepared to compromise, then borod will not break you. Either way, that's what this spirit told the chassid. So therefore the chassid very cleverly only sowed his field by the revia shnia, such that his tvua was soft, and if it was soft, the borod could not break it. That happened the first time. Lashono hacheres, the next year, the same story played out. Holach velon bebe sakvoris. I presume. Why did he go back to the Beis HaKavaris? Because again, he wanted to go on Erev Rosh Hashanah to hear, okay, that was last year's decree. What's in store this year? I was so successful last year when I heard that the time to sow is in the second Revi'ah. So let's listen to what's being told this year. Once again, I'll be on to a good thing. And indeed, Holach v'lon the Beis HaKavaris, he went once again to the Beis HaKavaris. V'shama oison shtei ruchois, and he heard those very two spirits again, shemesapreis zu el zu. Once again, he overheard this conversation between the two spirits. Omra chod lechaverto. So one says to her friend, Boi v'noshut ba'olam, let's go and traverse the world, v'nishma me'achayri ha'paragoid, and we will hear from behind the curtain, ma puronos ba'olam. Once again, which puronos, which punishment is going to befall the world? Omra lo, so she said to him, chaverti, my dear friend, loy kach omarti loch, didn't I tell you already that what? I said, Eini Yecholo, I already told you that I can't. Why? Sha'ani kavura b'machzeles shel konim. I already told you that I'm stuck here. I'm buried in this mat of reeds. So I'm stuck. There's nothing I can do. Elo, rather, once again, like last time, l'chi'at. You go by yourself. U'ma sha'at shema'at. And whatever you hear, bo'i v'omri li, come back and tell me. Fine.
In the notes in the art scroll, it says that what happened was that the first one, her family was poor. Normally, a person is buried in shrouds, and that allows the body to decompose quickly. And then once the body is decomposed, the ruach can go around the world, can roam around. But her family was poor. They couldn't afford shrouds, so they buried her in these cheap reed mats. And unfortunately, her body could not decompose properly in those reed mats, and therefore she was not free to roam around the world. And that's what they say in the art scroll.
Are they quoting somebody there?
The Tzlach.
The Tzlach is, yeah. The Noi de Biyuda. Wonderful. Okay, Shkoyach. So she says, listen, I already told you last time, I'm stuck here in the Machzeles Shel Konim. As we just heard, the body has not decomposed. Therefore, the spirit is not free to roam around the world. So you will have to roam around the world. You listen to what's going on and report it back to me. And that's what happens. Holcha v'shoto. So indeed, she went and she roamed around the world. Uba'o, she comes back. Va'omro lo chaverto. And her friend, the original one who remained behind, says to her, Nu, Chaverti, ma shomat me'achayri ha'paragoit? ? What is it that you found? What did you hear from behind the curtain? What's been decreed this year then? Omrala, so she heard, this year it's the opposite way round. Sh'da shomati, I heard, shekol ha'zoirei ha'beravio shnio. Last year it was, whoever does the first rain is in trouble. This year, it's whoever plants in the second year will be in trouble. Whoever plants in the second rain, shidofoin. What's shidofoin? Progressive?
Blight, isn't it?
How do they translate it, really, David?
It's like a dry wind.
Dry wind. The wind will come like a hurricane, and that will kill it off. Malka oisai.
Like those of us who used to live in Los Angeles, they could be called Santa Anas. This dry wind would come along and it would be under. We had one here a few days ago. It's called a Santa Ana.
Okay. Now, you can imagine that after the previous year, everybody had seen that if you planted in the first rainfall, you got into trouble. So you could probably guess when it came to the next year, everybody planned therefore to wait and plant in the second rainfall. Little did they know that this year, the second year, the gzeira had been reversed, and to the contrary, whoever plants in the second rainfall, they're in trouble. So to the contrary, they would have done well to have stuck planting in the first rainfall, but they didn't. So aholach v'zora b'raviyo rishoyna. So this chosid, again, having overheard what's happening second time round, so he went and he planted in the first rain, because he now knew that if you plant in the second rain, you're going to be in trouble. And once again, shalkol ha'olam kuloi nishtaf, the whole world tzvua was just blown to smithereens, v'shaloi loi nishtaf, and his was not. So again, he had an argument with his wife. He goes to the Beis HaKvaras. He hears it first time. A year later, he hears it second time. And his wife has no idea how her husband managed to be so successful now 2 years in succession. Omra lo yishtoi. So his wife says, what's going on? Mipnei ma. Why is it that eshtaked? Eshtaked means last year. Why is it that last year shel kol ha'olam kuloi loko, everybody's tefuah got smitten, v'shelcha loi loko, and yours didn't. And once again, v'achshav, and now also, shel kol ha'olam kuloi nishtaf, v'shelcha loi nishtaf, what's going on? How was it that remarkably everybody suffered 2 years in a row, and the only person who didn't was you? How did that happen? Sochlo kol advarim halalu. So he told to her everything that had happened. You were not aware, but I was in the Beis HaKvaras. I heard this conversation first time. I heard the conversation second time, and that's how I knew. Oh, okay, now it all makes sense. But that's not the end of the story. Amru, they said, Loi hoyu yomim mu'otim. It wasn't many days later, just a few days later, ad shenofla ketota, where an argument broke out between who? Bein ishtoi shel oisei chosid, this wife of this particular chosid. But this time round, she didn't have a fight with her husband. Remember, the first time round, she was upset with her husband because he gave money away. This time round, who did she have a katata with? Ubein imo, and the mother shall oisa riva. With the mother of this particular girl. Remember, we said that these two spirits were two young girls that had tragically died. The mother of this girl, whose spirit had spilled all the secrets, this mother and the wife of the chosid have an argument. So she says, Lechi, go, ve'erech biteich shehi kavura b'machzeles shokonim. That's how she conducted the argument. She says, hey, I'll go and show you. Your daughter is buried in a machzeles shel konim. Maybe the mother didn't even realize this, but the wife of the chosid knew it because of the whole story that her husband had overheard. Lashono acheres, the next year, this is now the third year in a row, Holach v'lon b'beis akvareis again. V'shoma oison ruchoi shemesaprei zuhi zu. And he once again, this is now the third time, he hears these two spirits talking to each other. Omra lo chaverti bo'i v'noshet v'oilom. Let us come with me, let us roam the world. V'noshet v'oilom v'nishma me'achere apargoid ma'apuronyes bo'al oilom. Third year in a row. Omra lo chaverti hinichoni. So she says to him, she says to her, leave me alone already. Dvorim shebeini lebeinoch I see that the words that between you and me, in other words, that which we discuss, kvar nishmu ben achayim, end of braisa. One spirit says to the other, leave me alone, because I hear and we see that that which we discuss has already been overheard by live people. Which live people? In other words, this chassid. So for the one spirit, and then he's now related to his wife then had an argument, and she related to somebody else. So the spirit says to a friend, you know, just leave it to me. We can't keep our affairs private anymore, because I see that they're being overheard by humanity. That is the end of this rather strange story. But what is the bottom line? Says the Gemara, Alma, what do you see? Yodi, question mark. We see that what? That the dead do know what's going on. How did the dead know that the chassid had overheard them? The fact that the dead are able to converse, fine, maybe that's a chiddush. But how did these spirits know that the chassid had overheard the whole conversation and had acted accordingly? So it does seem to be that what? That dead people are aware of what's going on. That was our whole discussion. Says Rashi, Alma Yodi, we see that they know about the Dvorim Hoamurim Ben Hachayim. You see that they do know about that which is discussed between live people. Here you have the chassid who had a conversation with his wife, etc., etc. And these spirits were clearly aware of exactly what's going on. Says the Gemara, no, that's inconclusive. Why? It's true that they knew, but who told them? Dilma Inesh Achrina Shochiv. Maybe there was somebody else who had died, va'ozil va'omaluhu, and had told them. So maybe it's true, those who have passed away, they can be aware of what's going on, but not because what they hear from live people, only what they hear from other dead people. So maybe there was a third dead person who had told these two young girl spirits, this is what's going on. But you cannot prove from this story that they're exactly aware themselves of what's going on with live people. So therefore, if you go to the Beis HaKavaros and you wear tzitzis, who says that they're aware of what's going on? That's our discussion. You have no proof from this particular story, because this story is talking about perhaps where another dead body or spirit had told them about what's going on. But you cannot prove from over here that they actually hear and see the actions and conversations of live people. That's what the Gemara is trying to deflect this proof. Says the Gemara, Toshama. So let's now try and bring another proof. Another story. The Ziri, with the name of an Amoira, have a mafkid Zuzi, also a very strange story. He once deposited money, Gabe, with Ushpezichte, with his female host. So he was once a guest in a hotel or something, and the hotelier, the woman who owned the place, he deposited money with her. Ad, until such point, the Osi va'ozil le'beirav. Until he came to Beirav, he came to Yeshiva of Rav, with his money, Zairi's money, still deposited with this particular woman. So Ozal Basra, now she's died. Shchiva, she died. Remember, she has died, and Zairi doesn't know now where is the money that he deposited with her. Ozal Basra l'chatzar moves. So he went after her to the Chatzar Moves, which Rashi says is the Beis HaKvaros, and he needs now to talk to her. He needs to talk to this dead woman to find out what has she done with his money. The Omar lo, and he says to her, he actually converses with the dead. And he says to her, Zuzi Heicha, question mark, where is my money? Omrole, so she indeed responds, and she says, Zil go shakilne mitusi batsanura dadasha. You can find it underneath the ground in the hole of the doorpost. Beduch plan, like the word ploini, in a certain place, in this and this town. So go to this and this town, you'll find it underneath the ground by the hole of the doorpost. So exact location of the money. Not only that, she said extremely cryptically, the Eimala Le'ima, go and tell my mother to Shader Li, she should send me Masrakoi, my comb. The gufta de kuchla, and the tube of makeup. Why on earth she needs that, I have no idea. Bahodi planisia da asya lemocha. She should send these things with a particular woman who's coming here tomorrow. What does it mean she's coming here tomorrow? Meaning she's going to die. I happen to know, she says, that there's somebody who's going to die tomorrow. If you could just ask her to bring me some things, please. So what do you see from this story? Once again, Alma Yadi. So you see that again, she's aware of what's going on in the world. How on earth did she know that this other woman was about to die? So you see, once again, the dead people are aware of what's going on. Says the Gemara once again, perhaps it's no proof. Dilma, perhaps, Duma. Duma, Rashi tells us, is the Malach in charge, is the angel of death. Maybe Kodim Umachriz Lehu, maybe she had, this Malach had gone and told this woman. So she's not essentially aware, Stam, of what's going on. But she had inside information from the angel of death. So we still don't have a proof, therefore, that dead people really know of what's going on in the world. They might be told things by other dead people. They might be told things by the Malach HaMoves. But do they know? Can they hear what's going on from other human beings? We will have to look in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow to see if we can find any further proofs. So we'll hold it over here, Mitzvah Hashem.
Shikach.
All the best.